Wingstop's doing what they do best, taking flavor to the next level. So when chicken sandwiches only came in spicy and plain, Wingstop said, nah, make it 12 flavors. Lemon pepper chicken sandwich, OG hot, mango habanero. You get the picture? Every famous Wingstop flavor, now on the new Wingstop chicken sandwich. Try all 12 and find your favorite at Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Huh.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right. Hey, John, I'm going to play a clip. Now, this is something you will not hear on NBC, ABC, CBS, or MSNBC, any of those, for very good reason. It's from Dr. Steve Turley. And it's got to do with what's taking place out there with that election for governor with Kerry Lakes and Hobbs. Now, Hobbs got herself into some trouble. I knew that Kerry Lakes is not going to stop. And she's not like one of these, most of these Republicans that just don't have the grit. And so, but listen to this, what's happening there, and then we're going to play a follow-up, Lord's willing, tomorrow. So take it away.
Well, here we go. Arizona's Katie Hobbs is in some hot water as internal email leaks reveal that her office colluded with Twitter officials to silence so-called election misinformation. We're going to take an in-depth look at the leaked emails. We're going to see how lawmakers are now calling for federal investigations. And stick with me at the very end of this video when I'll reveal precisely why this may all be just the tip of the iceberg. You are not going to want to miss this. Another culprit has been exposed as part of the ongoing saga known as the Twitter files released by Elon Musk. We now know that on January 7th, 2021, the communications director for Katie Hobbs' Secretary of State office emailed an organization known as the Center for Internet Security, an organization that deals with supposed online misinformation. The subject line in the email was election-related misinformation, and the email reads, "I'm flagging this Twitter account for your review." Again, this is from Katie Hobbs, communications director. The misinformation department at CIS, the Center for Internet Security, then forwarded the message along to an employee at Twitter, writing, quote, "Please see this report below from the Arizona Secretary of State office. Please let me know if you have any questions." Twitter wrote back, "Thank you. We will escalate." About 7 hours later, a Twitter employee wrote back, "Thank you. Both tweets have been removed from the service." And interestingly, copied on this response was an employee at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which is a branch under the federal government's Department of Homeland Security. Christina Bob of One America News basically summarized the revelations by tweeting out, "Unreal. Katie Hobbs's office contacts Twitter to have posts removed." So the Democrat candidate who ran the Arizona election, censored her political opponents, disrupted election day votes, and then threatened counties with prosecution if they didn't declare her the winner. Now, that latter point, of course, stems from revelations that Katie Hobbs' office threatened to arrest Mojave County Board of Supervisors if they didn't certify the 2022 election by Monday's deadline. This according to documents obtained by the Daily Caller. The Mojave County Board of Supervisors were, of course, like many others, very concerned about the insane number of irregularities and interruptions that occurred throughout Maricopa County on Election Day, as well as the slow walking of results and stonewalling of handing over information on precisely just how bad the Election Day disruptions and irregularities were. So Katie Hobbs, remember, refused to recuse herself from overseeing the election and therefore by implication was in charge of counting her opponent's votes. We now know that Katie Hobbs has a history of colluding with Twitter to actively suppress political opinions that she didn't like. And now we're seeing a comparable weaponization of the law in order to silence what many believe to be legitimate dissent, given her own electoral incompetence. Kerry Lake, of course, has responded to these revelations, tweeting out simply, "Conflict of interest, coercion, and corruption. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, if you remember, was actually suspended indefinitely from Twitter under the old woke regime, she wasn't having any of this. She tweeted out, "The Secretary of State of Arizona and governor candidate Katie Hobbs used the power of the Arizona Secretary of State to collude with Twitter to unconstitutionally violate First Amendment rights of Americans for her own political gain. This is communism and Hobbs cannot be governor. I'm calling for a federal investigation." Todd Starnes tweeted out another Twitter bombshell. Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs was in regular communication with Twitter telling them who to censor, and Twitter complied. Arrest them all. And to that end, Republican Representative Troy Nehls on Friday assured patriots across the nation that investigations are indeed coming into the involvement that government officials have had in censorship campaigns at Twitter. And over the weekend, Speaker of the House hopeful Kevin McCarthy said that investigations need to be extended to Facebook and Google as well.
Lie to the American public. What Elon Musk has been able to do, now we know why the White House wanted to fight so strongly against him owning Twitter. All he's done is put out the truth. Now we need to start looking at Facebook, at Google. These now have become arms of the Democratic Party, arms of the Biden administration. But they also used the intel community as well to lie to the American public. Should those people keep their clearances? Should those people still be allowed to have information? If they're going to be political individuals, then no, they should not. And this is just the tip of the iceberg of what we need to investigate going forward.
And so investigations are coming. And, you know, with all of these ridiculous corruptions going on in plain sight, I shouldn't have been surprised when I was recently shown just how easy it is to actually access the deed to my house, and not just access it, but actually change it. I mean, if you don't know, the deed to your homes is the only document you have that proves you own it. But the problem is that the deeds to all our homes are now all online, and criminals are free to find your deed, forge your signature, and refile as a new homeowner, and take tons of loans out using your home's equity, and of course, sticking you with all the debt. And don't expect homeowners insurance to bail you out, because it doesn't. And that is where our amazing friends over at Home Title Lock come in. Gang, they're absolutely amazing. Home Title Lock gives you the peace of mind that the deed to your home is absolutely and completely protected. And they want to help you right away, right now. So just click on the link below, use promo code TurleyTalks. Then all you have to do is enter your address for your no obligation home title scan to see if you've already been. Rather damning revelation about Katie Hobbs is all part of what's being called the Twitter files, right? Over the weekend, Elon Musk released what promises to be just the first of many more massive bombshells to come against the whole of the establishment. We're talking the deep state, right? The three-letter agencies, Democratic Party operatives, and of course, big tech, all in terms of how they collude with one another. Elon made the first dump of emails and internal communications within Twitter available to Substack journalist Matt Taibbi over the weekend, who published them in a torrent of tweets, a thread of just over 40 tweets revealing the inner workings of how Twitter employees, politicians, and deep state operatives colluded together to deliberately censor the New York Post Hunter Biden laptop bombshell that exploded on the scene October of 2020. We now know, of course, that the FBI had Hunter Biden's laptop in their possession for months before November 2020. We know that they knew that it was genuine, that it was for real, and that the information contained in the laptop, particularly in relation to Sleepy Joe's involvement with Hunter Biden's illicit business dealings, you know, the big guy and all, was enough to implode the Biden campaign. So even though all of this was known, nevertheless, those same FBI officials regularly met with Twitter employees as well as Facebook employees and tipped them off to a supposedly impending Russian disinformation campaign involving Joe Biden that they needed to look out for and censor. And then, boom, the New York Post reveals the Hunter Biden laptop, and literally immediately Twitter sprung into action, suppressed the story. They shut down the New York Post Twitter account for freaking 2 weeks. They even shut down the then White House spokesperson Kayleigh McEnany's Twitter account just for daring to share the story. And then, of course, right on cue, 50 former intelligence officers all signed a letter declaring that the laptop was nothing more than Russian disinformation, which they all knew was untrue. They all knew they were lying when they said that. We now have all the internal communications behind the scenes at Twitter that shows just how deep this collusion between the deep state, Democrat politicians, and social media went. And this Katie Hobbs revelation is just the tip of the iceberg, or as Elon Musk put it, more smoking guns are on the way. So we'll certainly be keeping our eyes on how things develop here with the ongoing Twitter files, but there's no question the jig is up. The cat is out of the bag, and the establishment is ripe for a massive implosion.
All righty, we're back. So is the jig up, John McTernan?
Pastor Ernie, it is up, but who's going to prosecute them?
Well, you know, that's a
I mean, because the criminals are in the FBI and the criminals are in the Justice Department.
Amen.
Well, when it comes to say when it comes to this thing, Katie Hobbs, that's going to go before the Supreme Court. If the Supreme Court Supreme Court hears the case and rules, then that will overturn that election there. And that state, that will overturn that. It'll be up to the state attorney general and the governor of that state. And now when the state attorney general was, he was signing, he looked up and he said, look, I do not certify this election. The governor does not certify the election. And then he made a statement. He said, when you decide to ride the tiger, you'll often end up on the inside of the tiger. In other words, he was saying, Katie Hobbs, the Secretary of State, who was doing this, she was one certifying her own election, which is totally illegal. It wasn't even legal. Now, what else did she do? She threatened the others, if they don't certify here on the different counties, that she would make charges, send them to prison if they refuse. So she did the same thing that Biden did. She would not debate Carrie Lake. She would not one time would she debate her. She did the basement thing, okay? And so there you go.
Well, Pastor Ernie, you know, first of all, can we rely on the Supreme Court? You know, I don't know. You don't know. The second thing, because they sunk Trump, you know, they could have made some decisions and they didn't. And the other thing is, if it can get into the hands of the new state attorney general, because the new state attorney general apparently, but you know, I don't even know if you can go by that. I think he's someone that is real. He's real. He was elected, and I
he's the one. He's the one I just mentioned. That's the one I just mentioned.
Right. That's a hope. That's a hope. But as far as the federal government goes, zero hope. As far as the Supreme Court, I don't know, 50-50 maybe. If the state handles it, if Arizona handles it, there's a chance with the attorney general. Now, the previous attorney general, remember that big investigation that Arizona did on Maricopa County?
Yeah.
And they spent weeks doing it, and they uncovered at a minimum 40,000 irregular votes. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And they identified corrupt people in the county that you know, manipulated the votes and all. They gave that whole package to the state attorney general in Arizona. And what was the result of it, Pastor?
Well, nothing. He just right. dropped it. But here's the other thing, too. In this election,
he sat on it.
Yeah.
And did nothing.
But here's the thing. In this last past election, now, the math doesn't add up. Only 17% of the registered Democrats voted. 17%, 17%. And yet they ended up with 51% of the vote. Now, how does that happen, John?
The multiplier effect. Now, if every Democrat vote counts for three votes.
It must be. Again, it's,
you know, multiply 17 times three.
Times three and exactly 51.
51. So every Democrat that vote, you know, the Democrats vote early and often.
Yeah.
How's that?
Well, you know, the thing of it is remember what Karl Marx said. He said, keep people confused. See, they're right in your face doing things that seem so obvious. And so, in other words, like you're watching them dump in these dump boxes, these vote boxes, you know, 50, 60 at a time. And even though you're watching them doing it, they're telling you you're not seeing it, right? And it's this whole idea, just like there in Georgia, where here, they, you know, they were pulling out ballots from underneath tables and that. And then in Michigan, I saw the truck come in, and they were filled with ballots, last bit of ballots. After they locked the doors, they wouldn't let any Republicans in. They boarded up the windows so people couldn't see what they were doing. And here comes a truck, and on the truck it had written Biden ballots, right on every box, okay? And it's like right in front of you, you're not really seeing what you're seeing, see? And we have NBC, ABC, CBS. No matter how big of the lie is, they'll stand right with that lie.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And so, exactly. Now let me ask you about this. Then we've got this Brunson versus Adams case. It looks like the court has said that they're going to hear this case now. Okay, they're going to hear it. And so, this case, if it's heard, they got all of the evidence that's there, every bit of it that's there, would cause an overturning of the 2020 election. They have all, they've got all of the evidence, everything that's violated the Constitution, everything that Mike Pence refused to look at. Mike Pence refused to look at when he sold us out, right? So what do you think? Do you think that they're actually going to rule on the Brunson-Adams case?
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's the first step is wonderful that they took it, right?
Right.
Because they could have denied it. So that's wonderful. But I'm so skeptical now. I mean, I just gave that example in Arizona. They had everything laid out. The election could have been overturned if the attorney general just did his job. He didn't do it. And he was a Republican. He didn't do it. And, you know, the election fraud continued. So with the Supreme Court, they took it as huge. But are they taking it to kill it?
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think? Because when that press conference or he had, when he signed that, he's the one that said, with disdain, he made it very clear that he thought the election was fraudulent. So why do you think he didn't do it? Was he bought off? Do you think he got bought off?
Some pressure was applied. Yeah, either a bribe or there were threats made to his family, threats made to him, you know, lose his law license. I don't know, Pastor Ernie, but the Republicans caved left and right. And Trump wasn't elected because of the Republicans. If the Republicans in Georgia had done what they're supposed to, and they did it in Arizona, like just those two states, it would have turned the whole thing upside down. But it was the Republicans that went against Trump, his own party.
Yeah, I know, and that's they were rhino Republicans, and I can tell you that, you know, I'm more dedicated now to help to promote Trump than ever before. And a whole lot of people that I know feel the same way. You know, the reason they're going after him, they fear him because he did exactly what he said. He did something that is a no-no within both parties, and that is actually doing what you promise. And that's what he did. He fulfilled the promises he made. And when he was in office, America was, we were energy independent. We were on the right track. People, the unemployment was growing. Countries had respect. Countries had respect of us again. Our military was building. Right now, today, he's destroyed it. Joe Obama has destroyed it. And within that, look, and here's what Trump knew, too. The Democratic Party is filled, it's flush from top to bottom with pedophiles. It's flush, and he knows that. Okay, and they know that he knows. And one of the things that if we ever get an actual Justice Department, a legitimate Justice Department, what does the Bible refer to as something that is illegitimate if you're a person? What is it?
A bastard.
That's exactly what we have as a Justice Department. It is totally corrupted from top down. It is completely corrupt, completely, okay?
But it's interesting you said that because online today I read an article that said that Xi from China just went to Saudi Arabia and they laid out the red carpet for him. And when Biden came last August or whenever it was, they did none of that. And now they're going to, you know, obviously work on the oil deal because they think it's funny that Biden's begging for them to pump oil and they're going to give Xi anything he wants. And he's just asking for it. It's amazing the disrespect, because when Trump went, they did the same thing. The purple rug, I think, is what they roll out instead of the red.
Well, everything you're seeing is not the way, you know, it looks. This is theatrics.
Yeah,
it's theatrics. Biden, that is his job to go there and beg. His job is to make sure that he's given in to the squat, to the so-called wacko environmentalist.
Yeah.
His job is to take America to third world status, to reduce us to third world status as quickly as he can. And that's what he has bought and paid for and owned. His job, look, is to keep the gates open on the southern border, to bring in as many terrorists, as many child pedophile, child molesters, as many rapists, drug dealers, human smugglers. His job is to bring in as many of these he can, to bring in enough fentanyl to start reducing the population. That's what his job is. His job is to do that, okay? His job right now, look, remember what happened, was it 40, let's see, no, it was 81 years ago today. It was what, Pearl Harbor?
Oh yeah, that's right. It was it yesterday? And it was the 8th. Was it today's the 8th?
Yeah.
So it was yesterday, wasn't it?
Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Well, here, let me ask you this: who killed the most Americans? The Japanese in Pearl Harbor, or Joe Biden and his fentanyl and his drug dealers and
Joe
his crack?
Oh, Joe Biden, yeah. Foreign.
So Joe Biden has done a lot more damage to this country than the Japanese ever did, huh?
Absolutely.
That's reality, but how many people out there do you think in the population percentage can cling to and conceive reality?
I mean, it's getting smaller.
Much, much smaller.
Much, much smaller, whatever the number is. It's getting smaller. That's funny. You're taking away one of the articles that I had, but without going into the whole deal, 2.76 million people, they estimate, have entered in this year. In the past 12 months, 2.76. 60% of the kids that have been coming in have been unaccompanied, and therefore they've been either abused into trafficking or pornography, and then fentanyl as well. The average family, the Heritage Foundation had a report in that same article I was going to read that said that in 2007, the average immigrant family received $30,000 a year for benefits, which means that they paid $10,000 in taxes, and then we footed the bill for $20,000. So you can only imagine what it is under Biden right now, if that was in 2007.
Here, Democrats, oligarchs, spent $250 million to buy the Georgia Senate seat. Now, they spent over three times what Herschel Walker spent, okay? Now, not only that, but most of Walker's money came from Georgia, within the state of Georgia. The vast majority of this $250 million came from outside Georgia. It came from the blue states to put that communist in.
But Georgia is unique, and it was easy for them to do because 60% of the voters live in and around Atlanta. Within, I forget how many miles it is, but it's basically Atlanta, and you can almost ignore the rest of the state if you can control Atlanta.
If you would have asked Bill Gates over a month ago, Bill, what would be the exact number of the votes? He probably could have
told you. He could have told you down to the vote.
Okay. Right. It was all loaded in. Right. Yeah. There you go. That's the reality, folks. That's reality what's dealing with.
Well, what they do, Pastor Ernie, is I was listening to, I was driving on the radio, and I had the radio on the vehicle, and they were talking about the early returns in Georgia. And what they, this is the way they do it. They give right up front, Warlock there, he got like a $50,000, $60,000 bonus. In Wisconsin, the Democrat governor got an $80,000 bonus votes. So what they do is they let the, Walker catch up to Warlock. And when he gets close, they put an extra $10,000 in for Warlock. And they keep it going all the way. So if you notice, what did Warlock win by? He won by a couple thousand votes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he won by a couple thousand votes. But up front, he got like $80,000 to start off, a bonus, and they play with it all the rest. They got that up front. They got those votes. They play with it the rest of the time, and they work it out. So he doesn't win by, you know, 20%. He just gets enough to win, and that's over. So, in fact, I think I mentioned that on the show that was going to happen, Ernie.
Yeah, you did. You did because remember what we talked about before the midterms, where Gates, we had told you, and Gates, remember, and also Nancy Pelosi. They said it's not going to be a red wave. It's going to break out. It's going to be a tie. It's going to break even. And they laughed. They smirked because they knew the fix was in. It was a guaranteed fix in. Whether it was Dominion or whatever, but the fix was in. The numbers was going to be, the vote was already counted, right? All right.
But nothing was done to fix the last time. So they knew that.
No. Right. And Georgia, they stole the election in Georgia last time.
Yeah.
And the corrupt governor that won, he was involved in it.
Absolutely.
He buried Trump. You know, Trump lost by, I remember, 14,000 votes in Georgia. And if you took out all the dead people that voted, all the underage people that voted, and all the out-of-state people, Trump won like one county by 20 or 25,000 votes. That's all they had. And Trump and Kemp wouldn't do it. They're all corrupt. They're all corrupt. They colluded with the Democrats on Trump.
Well, you know, I mean, more and more people are starting to figure these things out. I know what you mean. It's like sometimes you feel like you're all alone out there. But there's a lot of us fighting this fight. There's a lot of us that understand and have discernment, and we see and we know what's happening out there. The vast majority of people, really though, they're outlanders. They're out and they're clueless. They don't really. Most of them know there's something very wrong, but they're not quite sure what it is, right? And that stems from biblical illiteracy.
But there are a substantial number of Democrats who, just based on the economy and the fact that the dollar doesn't purchase as much as it did and that things aren't as good as they were under Trump, there are a number of people that are exiting that just based on that.
You think they're figuring that out, huh?
They are. They're figuring it out. That, like, I got to decide whether I want to put gas in my car or some food on my table.
So this, when they run out of heating oil this winter, and Biden tells them that that's really good for them, you think they're going to believe him? Because, I mean, the media, they'll have it no matter what the lie is. Look, no matter what the lie is, okay, the media will tell whatever lie George Soros tells them that they're going to tell. I don't care what it is. They just don't call it a lie. They call it their narrative, but no matter what it is. And if they'll, you know, I mean, if they somehow would say, yeah, Trump's responsible for all of this. You know, that the media would run with it. Alrighty, here you go. Remember we were telling you, and I said yesterday that I had this feeling that because Millie and Austin kept pushing this transgender, they kept pushing this binary, they kept pushing drag queens at having them at the USO shows, and I had a feeling that I said, I believe that these guys, and based on the last verse in Romans chapter 1, if you turn to Romans chapter 1 and read the last verse based on that, well, here I have, this isn't a Photoshop. We found photos of the real dog-faced pony soldiers that Biden was talking to. And these are Biden's guys in uniform. When you look at that, what do you see? That explain the guy...
Was that not with the mask on?
Yeah, these people, these drag queen people, and they're wearing masks and that, but they're military uniforms.
So the last verse of Romans chapter 1 is, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
So when you have Millie and Austin promoting drag queens, not only do the same, okay, they do the same, right?
They do the same and take pleasure in the other people that do it too.
All right, we'll be back right after this with more, a lot more. A little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, I want to see the preacher. So they left them alone. Will you make me a promise? She said as he walked in. He said, tell me what I can do. She said this to him.
All the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Heaven, they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them all he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them.
Said, I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about my dad? I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for.
She said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. But how great it would have to be in a church service with them. said, "Promise me you'll tell them." As she faded off to sleep, he said, "Sweetheart, don't worry. That's a promise that I'll keep."
Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell Mom and Dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
Boy, that little girl is so much smarter than all those Harvard people you were talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
she knows what it's about.
You know, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
You're talking about how smart those Harvard people are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you how smart they are. They're geniuses because they don't know what a woman is.
Well, you know, they don't.
I mean, that's a complicated
that's
technical.
Deep.
Yeah, that's deep. That Supreme Court justice, they asked her what a woman was, and she said she didn't know. She wasn't a biologist.
Well, not only that, but the number of Democrats they asked refused to answer. They said they didn't know. And but you know what? I just was at the Tea Party meeting, and we gave an honor for Carrie, one of the ladies who was the president there at the Tea Party. And you know what I did? I went right in front of all those people. And I said, "I know what a woman is, but even more than that, I know what a lady is, okay?" Now, of course, they don't have know what a lady is because they don't have any of them on that side, right? But I knew exactly, and I said, "Right here is a real lady, Carrie Brockman, and she was a real lady, okay?" So the AMA, though, remember this, because the AMA, they're making sure that you're not going to put their genders on their birth certificates. But they're not really sure if there are genders, okay? And John, I know things that they don't know. See, this is why, you know, we're way out. In fact, we know what a gender is. Right now, I can walk right into a classroom and I can point out every boy and every girl. I can say, "That's a boy, that's a girl." This is much too deep, much, much too deep for a Democrat, okay? Not only that, but listen to this. If I was to have a closet in the schoolroom, and in that closet, if there was a little litter box, do you know what I would do, John? I would put a cat in that litter box and not a little boy or girl. Because, see, you know why? I know that boys and girls aren't supposed to go into litter boxes, right? And you know this other thing, this trans species thing? There was a guy, I got it here, he was dressed up. He thought he was a deer, dressed up in a deer outfit, running through the woods.
Did he get shot?
By two hunters, yep. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's in the hospital right now, but they don't know what to do because they really don't normally treat deers in there.
Oh, my goodness.
They have to remove his antlers.
They might have to take him to a vet.
Yep. We're going to have to do some lightning rounds and taking some calls. So let's start with our co-host, Clifford. Clifford, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. You know, I was just listening to the beginning of the latest Sergeant Report's podcast, episode 435. So he plays a clip of Kanye. They're talking about the history of the deep state, including the Dulles brothers to start with. And he says, "Well, I can speak out. I haven't murdered anybody." So the sergeant is saying, what is he implying? He's implying that a lot of these people have murdered someone in Hollywood. And, you know, they have to keep quiet. And they're going to bring that out if need be. So that seems like an interesting podcast. That's 435. Also on LifeSite News, there's an article about a boy in New Zealand that is needed or needs heart surgery. His mother and father did not want blood transfusions with spike protein blood. They identified 20 people that were not jabbed that will give the blood donation, and the state overrode that and actually took the child into the state's custody and said the mother is a conspiracy theorist, she needs a psychiatrist, and all they want is a blood transfusion without potentially spike protein in it.
But there's something more going on, too. Right now, a number of these states, now they're having where they want to find people, donors, to register that are unvaxxed, who don't have the spike protein in their blood. But we're being warned not to sign up. That we're being warned don't sign up for that, because what they're doing is they're just trying to find out who it is that has not taken the poisonous poke. So, folks, you have to be very cautious and not sign up. Don't fall for this stuff. Remember,
okay,
the government is as corrupt and as corrupt as can get. It's totally, completely corrupted. So you cannot trust them at all, at all.
Also, I just wanted to ask you while you have John. Jeremiah 1:16 is an interesting verse. It's talking about touching upon all evil. And I could kind of relate that to Ezekiel, where they show like this next level of evil that's hidden. What do you think of Jeremiah 1:16?
Got to do it quickly, John. The whole board's lit. And so, Jeremiah 1:16, I don't know.
16, I'm trying to find. Here we go.
John, could you hear him? Do we lose John?
Well, Randy could give me his opinion.
Okay, 1:16. I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now, and you were wondering, I mean.
Well, it says touching on all parts of the evil. In other words, a lot of this stuff is hidden. That's the point. You know, like, it's almost like that saying, touching on all evil. Really, you can't get that if it's hidden.
All right.
Well, it says they've forsaken God. And to me, like, that's really the key. It's like, if you've forsaken God, then there's no restriction on what you will or won't do. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I'm back.
Okay, we lost you there.
Jeremiah 1:16, John.
He had a question on Jeremiah, but we have to hurry, though.
And it's, I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, who have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands.
Yeah, well, that was the state of Jerusalem to be judged. So Jeremiah was warning them that the nation, the city was going to be destroyed, and all the curses of the law were going to become upon them. And that's exactly what happened.
Exactly.
And the Lord condemned them because they went out and they built idols with their own hands. They would put one together, and then they would pray to what they just built. Right. That's stupid.
Right.
That is stupid. But we got to move on. Thanks, Cliff. Let's go to Steve in Cleveland. Steve, you're in the air.
Pastor, you guys are fantastic when you get together. When you really want to get going, that's what you're doing tonight. Hey, I'll make this quick. Hey, little thing, Cliff just said something, though. Hidden evil. I've never really thought about it like that, but when it's hidden, you can't find it. You can't see it. But it knows where you're at. It's like you're lurking. Something's lurking in the, you know, the cat lurking in the weeds for you or something. But what I was going to say was, it takes 51% for Katie Hobbs to get that out of 17%. But fourth or fifth grade math, if you thought about it, what's 17 times 3 equal?
Well, it's 51, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of funny, isn't it?
Yeah. All righty, very good.
Real fast, a friend of mine came out and saw you, and he was, you're impressive. Let you go. Take care.
All right, thank you. Oh, somebody came out, and I wonder what that was all about. A friend came out and saw me. I was impressive.
Yeah, but just compliment, and we'll say, and the band.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Bill. Bill, you're in the air.
Jeff, thank you. Two quick points. Matthew 24, verse 37, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. how was it in that time? There was violence all over the world. My other point is about this guy from New York. I'm originally from New York, too. But he monopolizes the show. He doesn't let other people talk. And I love your show to death because I'm a Christian, too, but I'm a sinner. Give other people a chance. That's it. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to... Okay, how much time do I have? Okay. All right. We're going to go to Pat... Pardon? Oh, get the number one more time? All right, we got time to take one quick call. Okay, well, never mind, it's there. Okay, so we're going to take, this will be the last call before we go to, for Pastor Hal, right? Pastor Hal's waiting. So, folks, there you go. We got a lot of stuff. A lot of good information we're going to bring you tomorrow because we're out of time tonight. Jeff, you're in the air.
Hello. I was wondering, you said the other night that there was 8 billion people in the days of Noah. Who came up with that figure? And also, on the internet, it says that it projected us to reach 8 billion before 2022 was over.
Okay, well, now, the question was, how did I come up with that number?
Yeah, for Noah's day.
Okay. That is what most of your theologians believe and your historians believe mathematically from day one. As you know, they're talking about because these women lived a lot longer in those days and they produced a lot more. And so that's basically it. It's really like a mathematical question with most of your historians believe that that was the number you'll find, 8 billion.
Wish I could see how they came up with that figure.
I would ask Ken Hovind or Ken Ham, and they can. I'll bet you they would have all the stats on that.
Well, thank you. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas to you. All righty. Now we're going to go to Pastor Hal. Now we have about 6 minutes, Pastor Hal. You got six.
Okay.
He's going to give an invitation now. McKernan, if he does anything wrong, you let him know, okay?
I got the heresy hook ready.
All right.
You know, the Bible says the curse causeless shall not come. And right now, America is under a curse. It's under the curse of this administration that's pushing abominations that totally people wouldn't have believed just a few years ago. They hate the righteous. They want to destroy us. They hate America. They want to destroy America. They're a bunch of communists, one-worlders, under the United Nations dictatorship, and they just want to destroy everything good America's ever stood for, and it's going to get worse, and it's because the people in America did not repent. The curse causeless should not come. It came because there was a cause. America, even clear back in the early 60s, turned their back on God, kicked God and prayer out of school, kicked the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses. And we're reaping right now a lot of the forsaking of God and accepting abominations, the LGBTQ. I never thought in a million years people would accept that filth and abomination stuff, and it's getting even beyond that, bestiality and everything else. We are headed for God's wrath, and we deserve, as a country, and we deserve what we're going to get if we don't repent before it's too late. And there's so much damage has been done already that, you know, the only worst thing that could happen now is if you die and go to hell tonight, because in hell there is no repentance, there is no getting out of that. And the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And being born again means you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you confess to him that you're a sinner, lost, and on your road to hell. That's what the Bible says. And you turn to Jesus and ask him to come into your heart, forgive you your sins, and be your Lord and be your Savior. When Jesus died on that cross, God allowed him to pay the payment in full for every sin you've ever done. God allowed him to transfer your guilt and your sins upon his son Jesus, who was without sin. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Right before Jesus died, he said, "It is finished," which means all the work necessary for your salvation has been done by Jesus and accepted by God the Father and offered to you right now as a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not one thing you do can earn points to get to heaven. One sin to keep you out of heaven. That's how bad God hates sin. And we sin every day of our lives in thought, word, or deed. So whether you're the best person that ever lived or the worst sinner that ever lived, when you come to God as a dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinner on your road to hell and admitting that and asking Jesus to come in by his grace and save your soul, give to you the payment he paid for you on the cross, he'll do it. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means you believing that Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood to save your soul. You humbly ask him to come into your heart and give to you that payment, and he'll do it. And Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. And that's when he comes into you that he gives you a spiritual birth into his kingdom. That's when he gives you the payment he paid in your place on that cross. Now, if you want that salvation, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call, that means pray. We can say a simple prayer together right now, but even though we'd be praying together, it'd be directly between you and God. But I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer if you'd like to. And remember, it's only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in, and he's knocking at that door of your heart right now. So let's pray if you want saved. Dear God, I confess unto you that I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I need your salvation. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood to save my soul. And I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul from hell. Lord, I believe you and only you can save my soul. And you're the only one that died on the cross to wash away my sins with your precious blood, in whom we have redemption through your blood. That's Ephesians 1:7. And so, Lord, thank you for coming into my heart and giving me that payment. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, Pastor.
Hey, man. Well, I think he did pretty good. Right?
He always does.
I agree with everything he just said. And again, folks, the reality, we deal with reality here, all of you. You know, we don't go into this binary stuff. And we don't, you know, we know what a woman is. We're way ahead of the world out there. We're not in la-la land. And the reality is this, folks. If you walk outside on a nice night and you look up in the sky and you see all those stars, they're there. And you're seeing them because they were created. There is a creator. And all of creation shouts out and it testifies to the creator. It's called reality. And another reality, that very same creator didn't leave us hanging by ourselves. He told us from the very beginning how things started, and he told us how they're going to end. And he makes it very clear that's appointed to all men once to die and then the judgment, right? And there's no stuttering going on there. So that's reality. And every one of you out there listening to me, you're going to die, and when you do, you're going to either go to heaven or hell. You don't want to go to the latter. Okay, absolutely. Am I right, fellas?
That's right.
Amen.
All right, and so John McTernan, so what do you tell him? You got 30 seconds to tell him what to do.
Well, what to do is, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. That means to do exactly what Hal said and trust Jesus Christ. The Bible is still here. It's the Word of God. It's truth. And to trust Jesus
Christ. All right. You're right. We're out of time. So until tomorrow, good night. God bless. Always, always.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.